All right, welcome to the Blunt Force Gamers podcast. It's me, your host, Game Goblin, sitting in the room with, yet again, the Fat Man.
Indeed.
And my co-host, as always, Darth Blasphemous.
Hail to the dark side.
And we're doing a wonderful episode because Fatimus wanted to rant about it, and it's hard to kick a fat man that size out my front door. So we're talking about Solo and Deadpool.
Excellent.
But before we begin today's show, I've got a surprise to pull on the fat man and a shout out to give to our number one fan. So Jiggles, here's your shout out, bro. Thanks for being our number one fan and listening to each and every one of our episodes like a goddamn tard.
You know, it just occurred to me that Jiggles is actually at the shop right now, or on his way to the shop right now, expecting to game, and I didn't tell him that I was coming here to do a podcast first, so ha ha ha, Jiggles!
But well, real quick, let's tell him what he's won.
Oh, he's won a prize.
Oh, what is this prize?
In MX, he's going to receive a black lightsaber. Do not use around lint or at nightclubs or if you have skin conditions.
Well, then, you gotta ask yourself, though, if it's truly black lightsaber, does it draw in cotton from nearby areas? We have that problem at the shop with the cottonwood. So if he uses it at the shop, does cottonwood become an issue?
He shouldn't use it around Darth Narsis.
All right, fair enough.
All right. So, on with the show. Intro.
Feeling tired at the gaming table? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you.
Listener discretion advised.
And we're getting some weird audio stuff, of course. Some weird electronic interference. Whatever.
Yeah, oh, so there's a dog howling in the background because even he feels the pain of what they've done to Star Wars.
Yes, let's begin with Star Wars.
So, around this table, only one of us has seen Solo.
Yes, it was me. I took one for the team.
I didn't even have to watch it. I didn't.
I didn't have to, but when you get to my age, it takes more and more degenerate stuff in order for you to fulfill yourself sexually. And so, you know, when whips and chains stopped being enough, I had to punish myself visually. And nothing has hurt me more recently than Solo could.
I've gotten to the point where my time is too precious to give up on such schlock.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. That's actually the main villain of the Solo movie is just time. It's pretty much a race against the clock.
Not even a good race from what I hear.
No, not really. I mean, they basically took Solo the smuggler and made him into, like, Solo the Amazon delivery guy. Better not be late.
Oh, Solo.
Solo. It is the 9th, and Solo's only been out for, what, a week now? And already Kathleen Kennedy's on her way out the fucking door?
Oh, Jesus. How do you take something as legendary as Star Wars, where you could... You can fucking put a piece of shit in a box and write Star Wars on it, and the thing will sell. This is the first Star Wars movie in history that hasn't even made its money back.
And, I mean, that's really bad considering that for over 30 years, there was no new Star Wars movies. There was books, there was comic books, and that was it. But still, you could buy the original stuff. Hell, I remember as a kid going to one of those toy fairs. And I spent probably $400 on Star Wars vehicles. I hate the little figures.
They cannot get kids to buy the merchandise to the new movies.
It's sad.
You have horrible character development. Nobody can connect to it.
And on that note, actually, one of the least popular toys right now, the actress, Miss Tran, has removed her internet presence as of a few days ago.
You know, if you can't take the heat, you probably shouldn't be on the internet having a presence like that. I can tell you right now, like, if I was making movies and stuff, the last thing I would do is get a Twitter account. The world is full of assholes, and I know this because I'm one of them. So here's the thing is, if you're sensitive about stuff, why would you put yourself on social media where the worst of the worst are the people that come out to talk to you?
Uh-huh. They were expecting, just like you said, you could put Star Wars on a box.
Right.
Fill the box full of turds and sell it. These actors and actresses that came on board were expecting that whatever turd box that they were being packed into was going to sell. People were going to love it. And apparently, that has not happened.
Well, no. And the funny thing is, and I want to make this real clear, because I talked about this last time when we were discussing this character. I don't have a problem with the actress. I don't think she was the problem. The problem is the script that was written, the way that she was directed to do the character, and the way that it all just jumped around. Like, she had the misfortune that Ryan Reynolds had when they put him in that horrible Green Lantern movie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. It happened. Accept it.
Nope.
Okay? Sure, in Deadpool 2, which we will get to later, they do wind up fixing that problem. But, however, Ryan Reynolds was never the problem with the Green Lantern movie. The problem was horribly written story, horrible CG. All the actors in the movie tried with what they had to work with. But a lot of people don't understand that it doesn't matter how well you try to make a performance. The director decides what lines they're keeping. Their editors will cut scenes. They pick what to work with. So she just had the misfortune of thinking that she could trust these people and not realizing that nobody gives a damn about the agenda that they're trying to push. You know, she should have removed herself from social media the moment that people started attacking the horrible, horrible... I don't even like the term attacking. Started calling them out on the horrible job that they did. You have the ability to block people. You have the ability to delete tweets. I feel for her on the fact that people are calling her horrible stuff, but nobody's forcing you to listen. Twitter is not a thing that just pops up in front of your face that you have no choice but to read.
It's true.
And I do agree that attacking her is the wrong thing to do. And really attacking anyone, calling them out, however you want to phrase it. We need to voice our opinion with our wallets like we're doing with Soylo. We're not seeing it. We're not spending the money at the bottom.
I'm going to play devil's advocate, say, while you're right about that, screw that. Right. We have the right to attack anybody, especially when you mess up something that's so important to so many people. There are actual religions these days built around Star Wars. So when you screw the pooch on something that people love, you are going to get attacked for it. It happened with Hayden Christensen. It happened with that poor kid that had the misfortune of being Anakin in the fucking first one of the prequels. We've torn into everybody for years about their performances and stuff. This is nothing new. What's really happening in this situation is the reason they're making a big hype about her being bullied and picked on is it's an attempt at deflecting away from how bad the movies are. They're trying to spin the narrative to where the fans are the problem.
And you know what? The fucking directors have come out. They've attacked the audience. The company has come out and attacked the audience. The PR department has come out and attacked the audience for various things. Oh, you're white? Oh, you're toxic to the fucking whole Star Wars thing.
Oh, I love the one about you fear a strong female presence.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I grew up masturbating to the chick from Aliens. Don't tell me that I'm afraid of a strong woman. You have no idea the dirty, dirty things that I would do to that buff chick from the first Deadpool movie. Wait, what up?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Still. Whoa. Don't interrupt
Xena.
Me.
Xena. Oh, yeah.
Well, Xena, of course. Well, I was more up for Gabriel myself.
Yeah, but I'm trying to wreck him in a sandwich, bro.
Well, later years, Gabriel, definitely. But what I'm saying is, the directors and the crew and these guys have come out in social media. They've done it in the movies. They're doing it in magazines. They've got their shills.
They do it on Twitter, which is funny. Don't attack her, but you're a bunch of Nazis, male misogynists.
Yeah, holy shit. That's going to be another episode, speaking about attacking the audience. Anyway, these guys are coming out and attacking me.
Mm-hmm.
I have the right to attack back.
Yeah. Well, not just that, but here's the great thing, too. Like I mentioned, Solo's the first Star Wars movie that's ever been made that didn't make its money back. And it's funny because they're looking for all these things to blame about it. But the truth is, you've come out, you've attacked the fans, you've stopped making movies that have any form of common sense when it comes to how you make a movie. So you're putting out a bad product. That is turning the general public against you. Then you're coming out against the diehard fans, the people like me that are going to buy 8-10 tickets to go see your damn movie. You attack them, you call them all these names, you treat them like shit, and then you wonder why nobody shows up to see your movie. It took 3 movies of them putting out since they got control of it for us to get to this point where now the fans are finally done being called names. And they're like, oh, it's all these other toxic reasons for why we're not making money. You're not making money because you cannot run a business where you attack your fans and then expect them to still hand you your money. Somebody abusing you and then expecting you to still pay them, that's called a pimp. Pimping ain't easy, and these guys haven't figured that out yet.
That mouse pimping hand is strong.
The mouse pimping hand is strong, and that's the great thing. I mentioned that earlier before we started all of this, is Disney pretty much sat back and let them do whatever they wanted with their crazy, twisted SJW agenda and all the crazy stuff they're throwing in it. Disney didn't care because Disney only cares about money, which is both a good thing and a bad thing. The bad part is they were willing to let the people in charge of Star Wars do all this horrible stuff to us as long as they were making money. Now they're no longer making money. And the moment that you can't pay Mickey Mouse, he brings down the pimp hand strong. So finally, Disney, the parent company, is stepping in and shaking everything up because we gave you something that makes billions of dollars and you failed to get back $120 million.
And even worse, it's not just the movies, it's the video games.
Well, yeah, I mean, the video games suck, but really, that comes down to EA and the other companies that are producing the games. When it comes to the movies, it's straight up the owners of the Star Wars franchise attacking us directly.
Yep.
Directly. When it comes to the games, they're just putting out shitty games, but it's not malicious, it's lazy. What they're doing with the movies right now, and the way that they're treating the fans, is a direct attack. It's like slapping the holy crap out of your girlfriend and then wondering why she won't blow you later that night.
Yeah. I mean, if I walked into somewhere and I started attacking somebody on their obvious qualities, oh, you're straight? Fuck you. You're white? Fuck you. You're middle class? Fuck you. If I keep doing this, pointing out obvious things about them and just saying fuck you afterwards, that person is not going to want to fucking deal with me. And this is exactly the way the LucasArts says they've been bought out by Disney and run by these fucking... Oh my god, I don't even have words for how stupid they are.
Blue Dot Socialites.
It's like running a place like McDonald's where you're selling crappy food that only fat people and potheads want to purchase, and then you have your employees making fun of fat people and teasing potheads, and then you wonder why nobody's coming and buying your burgers anymore.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you can only attack the audience so many times before the audience is like, screw you, dude, I'm not going to pay 16 to 20 bucks for a movie ticket just to get abused.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, too, because you can't even give honest criticism to them without them trying to make it into a thing, which is why I was pointing out that I have no problem with the actress that played Rose. She's not the issue. I'm not one of these dicks that's on there attacking her for calling her Chinese when she's actually Korean or whatever she is. Doesn't matter to me.
It still makes no sense as to why they ugly her up, but that's like the SJW
shit. I have actual criticism about what they did with her character. And the people running Star Wars right now will look at that honest criticism and then try to flip it into, I'm just attacking.
Yeah. Oh, you're, you know, she's a strong woman. You don't like women. It's like, what the fuck?
I don't care about her being a strong woman. I care about her acting irrationally constantly.
Even the portrayal of Red Sonja back in the 80s was a better character than what they're putting out for female characters in Star Wars.
And understand...
And that was a shaky movie.
Understand, people, that the two of us are actually quite a bit older than Blasphemous. So we grew up back when the Red Sonja movies and stuff were out. And I can tell you right now, as anybody that experienced that stuff when it first came out, you never thought you would see the day where you would talk about that being a good character.
Exactly.
But that's what Star Wars has done.
Yeah, that's what they've done.
Like, strong female characters are great. Give them fucking the best writing you can. But if you give us shit writing, horrible direction, and attacking the fans, it doesn't matter who you put up there. You put a fucking any deity you want, and they will still fucking be, you know, assaulted because they're the face.
There are plenty of movies with strong women in them that nobody gives credit to, or they give credit to, but, you know, just the characters are relatable, or they're funny, or there's something about them that just makes you go, that's an awesome character. Like the landlady in Kung Fu Hustle.
Right?
Definitely a strong woman.
But here's the important...
But she was great.
But here's the big important difference, is in movies and stuff like that, they show you these characters being strong, badass women, whereas with the new Star Wars stuff, they don't show you anymore, they just tell you.
Oh yeah.
They just tell you how awesome these people are supposed to be, they tell you how brilliant these people are supposed to be, but then everything they show you is completely contradictory to it, and if you criticize that, you're just afraid of strong female women.
This actually kind of unfortunately ties into something else that's on my mind with Gen Con coming up. So what you're saying is with these strong women that Disney is producing in the Star Wars movies, I should just listen and believe.
Well, you do know that was their whole thing with the stupid purple chick in Last Jedi. Her whole thing was like, everyone's like, dude, you need to explain the plan. And they were like, no. You just need to listen and believe women that they have a plan coming. Keep in mind that this is supposed to be a military-based organization, and she's not explaining anything to anybody. Just the Whammon has told you that she has a plan. Now just shut up, listen, and believe.
She didn't even say she had a plan to begin with.
Well, and the plan's horrible if you think about it. Her whole plan is, we're going to let them keep shooting at us, we're going to keep losing people, and eventually when we cruise by this one planet, we might be able to launch a few of us off of here to survive. This is a horrible plan. Also, because I didn't think about this last time we ranted, but they're flying through space. The bad guys are chasing them through space, right?
Yeah.
It's like Prometheus. Can nobody take a turn? Like, is there only, like, one direction you go in space? It's space. They could have gone up, down, left, right, anything. Nope, straight line. We're just in a caravan here for a while.
All this ship in the back needed was lights and sirens.
Oh, dude.
Pull over. Right? Pull the resistance over.
Oh, my God. Pull the movie, right actually, the movie actually would have been better if they had OJ in the back seat on the bridge taking everybody hostage, forcing them to go on a long speed chase.
Although there are two things about that high-speed chase in space, if you can call it a high-speed chase, that bring up interesting questions. A, we're looking at 30 years advanced technology here since the last movie. So why didn't they, you know, implement technology to do mini jumps? Why didn't they just cross the distance from behind and get right up on their butt? Because they had no fuel problems.
Well, also, before all of this happened, fuel has never been a problem Star Wars.
Fuel has never been a
problem. Ever.
The other question that comes up is when Holdo and her purple hair awesome moment of, if I kill myself, it'll make the movie better, flips the ship around and rams the other ship at FTL speeds. Now, this brings up a huge military question.
Mm-hmm.
If you can utilize FTL speeds to fly a ship into other ships, why are they not weaponizing the ship with fighters?
Because it's already in canon, been done over and over. And keep in mind, the problem with these movies is that they have people now making these movies that have never read any of the canon stuff. It's already been addressed that you can't do that. When they jump into fucking hyperspeed, they're literally jumping into like a sub-dimension of space. They are not just going really, really fast. That's not a thing.
Okay.
Another thing.
Fair enough.
Like when Solo is telling Luke in the original about why they have to calculate their hyperspace jump.
Yeah.
You know, you hit a star, you hit a moon or something, and you're just fucking space dust. Right?
Yeah. That's not the moon, not whatever you're hitting. You are space dust.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, like, they're just taking that and saying, oh, well, he just is saying some shit, blah, blah, blah. But they take the Kessel Run super seriously when the original script, it was just supposed to be a boast.
You know what really bugs me about when she did that stupid light speed hit the fucking other ship thing? Rewatch that scene. She's driving one ship, she hits one ship, and it destroyed, like, their entire fleet.
So why didn't she do that earlier?
No. How does one ship hitting one other ship destroy the rest of those ships?
Shotgun effect. Spread. I guess. It's just off the top of my fucking head, dude.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't work. And it's horrible that they expect us to think that it works. Again, listen and believe.
Yeah, there's a lot about that movie that I was told to listen and believe about. And Solo, we were mentioning this before the podcast. And Solo, what gets me is the tweet about Lando being pansexual. And in the list of things that a pansexual is attracted to, they include children. Why is there not more people running around with torches and pitchforks about that?
Well, because they've built it up to where if you try to criticize that, then clearly you have a problem with pansexual people. Despite the fact that nowhere else in the history of ever has pansexual meant I'm okay with fucking children. And let's take a moment here for me to be a, quote, misogynist douchebag and point out that there is no such thing as pansexual. The furthest I'm willing to go is you can be bisexual, because there are only two genders, which I'll even break that down to two forms of genitalia, okay?
Two scoops, two flavors, two terms.
Yeah, so literally, like, I went off on one of the guys at the shop the other day about this. His name's Bryce. He's like, I'm pansexual. I'm like, have you ever put your penis in a toaster, bro? No, why not? Why would I do that? Well, you're pansexual. Apparently, you're attracted to everything. Why are you only having sex with either dudes or chicks? That's bisexual. You're bisexual.
And we say this, and we have plenty of friends that are gay, lesbian,
trans,
yeah, trans,
everything in between.
But we've also seen the flip side where young people think it's cool to be trans, so they peer pressure their friends to think they're trans, even though they're just not traditionally female.
I had to have a talk with my stepdaughter, because all of her friends had her convinced that she is definitely trans and she needs to transition. But after sitting her down and talking to her about it, no, she fully plans on staying female. She doesn't want testosterone. She's attracted to the opposite sex. But because she's a tomboy, all of her stupid young friends are trying to convince her that she's really a dude on the inside.
And that's kind of what Soilo is trying to convince us.
Well, it's funny.
They're saying, this is a great movie, so you're just
a trans viewer.
Right. There's nothing in that movie that shows Lando being any kind of pansexual, bisexual, homosexual, heterosexual. There's nothing about his sexuality in the actual movie. They just sprinkled that into a damn interview so that they could try to pander again to their SJW targeted audience, which is hilarious because, you know, they've already figured this out through comic books and other things that have been infiltrated by the SJWs. These people don't spend money on the things they complain about.
Unfortunately, on that topic, they've not figured it out completely in comic books because DC has just hired
Zoe Quinn.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. My God. And have you read the synopsis of her comic book?
No, and I don't want to.
Oh, dude, it's bad.
Oh, I believe
it's bad. It's bad.
Gotta be horrible.
Oh, dude.
Give me the Cliff Notes version.
Here's the Cliff Notes version of it. This female programmer winds up finding out that there's a sub-layer below our reality of, like, a digital reality, kind of Matrix-y, mm-hmm. right? Where women, strong women, battle against the demons of cyberspace, which, by the way, is an allegory for men, for the cheat codes of reality.
Reality has cheat codes?
I give it 4 issues tops before DC drops her. She'll make a lot of money in her first issue because all of her backup supporters will come out and buy the first one. And then it'll take about 3 more issues before they figure out that she does not make money and they drop her.
Do these major corporations like Disney, DC, Marvel, all these guys, do they not look at people's track records anymore? Do they not like, we want to hire this person over here. Now let's check out their history first. Because I know when I go look for a job, I get the fine-tooth comb. They're doing FBI checks, mental checks. They want to do drug tests. They're like, we want to make sure that this guy we're bringing into our company is going to be legit. And these big mega corporations are like, yeah, this person who got laughed out of the UN for being a fraud, bring him on board.
Well, here's the problem is it comes back to that whole Twitter thing with the Asian actress from Star Wars. It's people are afraid of being called names. So DC probably wants to tell these people, we don't want to work with you, but then they will be labeled all over social media as being transphobic, misogynistic, racist, all this stuff. And the problem is that they need to hire an asshole like me, who's willing to be the face of the company to where when people go, you're a misogynist, I'm willing to go, fuck you, and let it be the end of it.
I think right now the best thing they can do is look at what happened with Roseanne before that last big tweet and realize that she was putting out product that people wanted. Not the SJW agenda bullshit, just stuff people wanted. And the numbers were through the fucking roof.
Well, even then, with the crazy stuff that Roseanne said, here's the way that I would have done it as a company. I would have ignored the situation because it's Twitter, it does not matter. And I would have kept putting out the product until the product is no longer making money. Kind of like Solo.
Yeah. So, Solo is a shit movie. I think we can go on YouTube, we can go on Facebook, we can go on any social media site right now, and it's like 97% Solo is a shit movie.
My favorite description of it is from a YouTuber that does movie reviews. He's out of Seattle. I love the guy. I trust him because almost all of his reviews have wound up being pretty close to what I felt about the movies and stuff. And so anyways, the best way that he describes it, keep in mind that this is a guy that has always loved Star Wars, and the best way that he described this movie is they pretty much made a Star Wars movie about how a guy gets his dog and his car and goes on a road trip. Nobody cares.
Wow.
It's apt,
and it's literally the best thing that can be said about this movie. It's how a guy gets his dog, his car, and goes on a road trip. Now, I saw the movie. The movie wasn't filmed bad. It's a pretty movie, but we finally reached the point where making a movie pretty is no longer distracting us. And so it's filmed to look great and everything, but it's incredibly boring. There's no real villain, like, not as far as, like, villainy goes. The real villain here is time. It's horrible. It's a prequel, so we already know nothing's going to happen to Han, nothing happens to Lando, nothing will happen to Chewie, nothing's going to happen to the Millennium Falcon. Spoiler alert, they're trying to do a trilogy on this. Their big bad guy reveal at the end is through a hologram, you find out Darth Maul's the big bad of this stuff. Which is great, because we already know through canon Darth Maul's fate. So what you're telling me, and we already know Han Solo's fate. So you're telling me you want to do a trilogy with these two characters who have absolutely nothing to fear from each other because of canon.
And Darth Maul trying to threaten somebody through a hologram?
Yeah, he threatens somebody through a hologram and turns on a lightsaber like, you're a hologram, dude! What is this lightsaber?
I got the power button right here, dude. I
can turn this off.
Just go away, dude. You know, end the call. Done. So,
This is what I love. I think you guys brought it up in a conversation we had ages ago. Remember in Star Wars how the lightsaber was the last thing they turned on? They wouldn't turn it on to, you know, threaten people or anything.
No.
And then all of a sudden, in like the prequels and Clone Wars and Rebels, it's like, I heard a noise. Big glowy stick time. What the hell? Like, that was, it used to be threatening. Now it's a joke.
That was a thing that we did talk about in the prequel trilogy when it came out between me and some friends, is we did notice that, like, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are just whipping out their lightsabers whenever they get a chance. They're like, look, there's a food court. Lightsabers on.
Well, there's a reason for that, though, and it's a legitimate reason, guys. You're not looking at it properly.
Oh.
The lightsaber is to distract you from the horrible writing. Burn part of the movie quickly. Turn on a lightsaber.
Okay.
Oh, they're starting to notice that this makes it lightsaber.
And mind you, me and the Fatimus here, we buy lightsabers. I have one from Park Sabers. It's okay. I've had it for years. It still works. It's a string of LEDs in a plastic tube with a big battery pack at the bottom.
I can't wait to buy mine just to piss you off.
He's going down tomorrow.
I'm going back to Saber Forge tomorrow. I already own 7 lightsabers through them, and I'm buying another. And this time I'm going to get a whip attachment so that I can oppress Darth Narsis properly.
Sweet. I'll bring the cotton.
And, I mean, this is the stuff we do. We dig into this. Like, I've had people at work tell me, oh, well, you know, it's hard to talk to you about these movies and stuff because you get way too into it. And I'm like, hold on, huh? I'm nerding out here, and I took the time before Star Wars was bought by Disney to research into the canon. And I'm friends with both of you assholes who have gone through and drilled in all this other canon stuff I need to check out. And I have checked it out. You lent me the Plagueis book, which, by the way, was great. And, you know, all this other stuff, and they had the whole universe built, everything was in line, there was very few problems, because everything worked together, because they all took the same premise, it all went through one factory, one place, and everything worked. Now, it's literally just, new director, and fuck it all up.
Well, I mean, and to be clear, I'm on SSI, so I get very little money a month, and what doesn't go towards bills, almost entirely goes towards the nerdy fandoms that I'm into. So it's not like we're just guys that watch the movies and we're complaining. I have $3,000 worth of full combat lightsabers in my bedroom right now.
And you probably have twice as much in Star Wars books.
Oh, the books. I've got the RPG books, the video games. I've spent an absurd amount of money on the MMO.
Mm-hmm.
I do. It's crazy the amount of money and stuff that we put into this. So again, it's not like I'm just some casual dude that's hating. I'm angry because this stuff's important. This stuff's a part of my life. I am an ordained priest, and I'm ordained as a Sith Lord. Like, I have paperwork for this stuff.
Yeah, tell everybody.
That's
your
the
Sith
level
thing.
Of nerdom to it. I'm Darth Pariah. I'm the social outcast. That's how I roll, because most people are too soft to be able to take the blunt way that I talk. You people listening to this podcast, most of you have no idea how much I have to filter myself when we're on here. Otherwise... Otherwise, the goblin would be spending pretty much 7 days a week trying to work in every bleep into the conversations and still figuring out how you can hear what we're talking about as I'm cussing and ranting.
Well, fuck it, Cotton.
Sorry, I was just thinking that I can't even say my Sith name on the air because it's too inflammatory. You're like, Darth Pariah, Darth Blasphemous. I'm like, Darth, I can't say it because it pisses people off. And that's kind of the point.
You know what? I'm kind of tempted to change mine because of all this Disney bullshit. I'm just going to add a letter to the end of it. I'm going to be Darth Blasphemous.
Blasphemous?
Done, dude. That's been a joke for a while anyway. So, before we take our break, let's have a show of hands. Thumbs up or thumbs down for Soylo and one reason why you gave it that rating. We'll start with Blasphemous.
So, I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pay money to see it in the theater. I'll wait till it shows up on Netflix. Hell, we're getting... The Last Jedi on Netflix, and it's been, what, 6 months since it came out? Yeah, that's really fucking fast for a Star Wars film. It took them forever to get Rogue One, and that one was eh. So I'm going to give it thumb in the middle. I'm going to reserve my total thumb until I see it. Thumb but overall, middle. All the shit that they're doing outside of it that I can directly see and be a part of, yeah, that shit's fucked up, and I'm giving that a thumb down.
I'm going to give it a straight up thumbs down! It is a shit movie with a vapid, paper-thin plot, characters who are two-dimensional, and like you said, there's no real villain except for time. It is just like that Ruin reviewer said, but from what I understood, it's more like, dude, where's my Millennium Falcon without the humor?
Yeah. So I'm going to go an extra stage, and I'm going to cut my thumb off.
Holy.
I will cut my thumb off. This movie was so boring. That's the real problem. With, not that it's bad. This movie was so boring, I wouldn't even torrent it. And I torrent everything, bro. I wouldn't even torrent this.
Wow, dude, that's like saying something so harsh to someone that it sterilizes them. That's just bam, brutal. All right, so we're going to take a 5-minute break. Be right back.
Are you ready?
A better topic, a happier topic, a fun topic, the topic that hopefully listeners will want to listen to, our review of Deadpool 2.
Can we just take a moment to address something from earlier again really quickly?
Yes, let's go. Let's start with the bad stuff.
No, we're not getting to the bad stuff.
Oh, okay.
So you guys gave a shout out to Jiggles earlier.
Yes, we did.
And I mentioned that Jiggles was supposed to be on his way to the shop.
Yes.
For those of you that don't know Jiggles, Jiggles is a fat pothead. And me and Jiggles go back and forth. We constantly refer to each other as Lil Bitch. And I just got a text message from him. Remember how I said he's supposed to be waiting at the shop? Well, I just got a message that said, hey, you fat little bitch, I just woke back up, LOL. So I'd like to point out that it's now 8:30 at night, and Jiggles has spent most of his day asleep.
It's his day off.
I mean, yeah.
It's his day off.
To be fair, we were gaming at the shop until almost 7 a.m.
True.
Well, we gamed until about 4 a.m., and then we trolled on Narcissus, Deadpool style, for about 3 hours until he tried to stab me.
So, Deadpool, just like the song, can't stop this motherfucker. Holy shitballs. I think it was good all the way through, and I do not give a fuck about the argument that they were refrigerating Vanessa. Because I honestly, Deadpool, one of the best things that you can do in a movie is humanize the character so they're relatable. And Deadpool is head over heels in love with a woman who loves him back, even though he's got a face that looks like kitty litter.
I mean, now let's be honest really quickly. His face doesn't look that bad. Like, if you watch the movies, it's nowhere near as gruesome as it is in the comic books. And I get it, effects budget and stuff, but really, he doesn't look that bad.
Okay, so he looks more like fucking Freddy Krueger.
No, Freddy Krueger looks worse than he does.
Okay, so whatever the point is.
He has, like, the smoothest cancerous scars imaginable.
Well, okay, so he looks like a shriveled thumb after a long bath. Big whoop. He still loves this chick.
Not even that shriveled.
She gets angst, and, like, the rest of the movie is him pining over the fact that, like, he can't get on with her anymore. And a lot of the SJW crowd are all pissed. They're like, oh, they sidelined her. They put her on the back burner. She's a
Well, actually, what they're referring to it as is they're going off about how it's a trope in comic books that they refer to as the girlfriend in the fridge. Back in the 90s, they did this whole thing where you had the Green Lantern Kyle Reiner, and he wasn't really motivated to go out and do hero stuff after he got the Green Lantern ring. He was like, I'm still going to look for a regular job, do my thing. Maybe I'll superhero a little bit, but who cares? And he winds up not stopping this villain, and so this villain, to motivate him to actually do stuff, kills his girlfriend and stuffs her in a refrigerator. And so it's the idea of they kill off the girlfriend to motivate the main character, and that's what SJWs are whining about. But it's funny because that shows that he has human emotion,
yeah,
that he's driven by this thing, and they will literally take anything and try to make it into a trope. Now, I do have a few complaints about the movie, but they're little nitpick things that, as a comic book fan, bug me, but I'm able to get past them.
I only have one complaint about the entire movie, and it'll make me seem like an insensitive racist prick.
All right, let's hear
it. That's my only complaint is Domino.
Let's do it now. Oh, I got a complaint about Domino.
Domino in the comic books is white, but not Caucasian white.
Right.
Not...
This was my biggest problem with her.
She is alabaster white.
Right, right. And here's my thing. I don't care that you hired a black chick to play the role. Look at Gamora. They hired a black chick to play the role, but they made her green. I don't care that you hired a black chick to play Domino, but make Domino's skin white. Not Caucasian. White.
Right. Like super bleached eggshell white, because that's the way she is presented.
And with a black patch over her eye. You know, kind of like when you're looking at a freaking Domino.
Yes. You know, and the actress herself, she gives me, like, those funny feelings in the funny places that still work, even though I'm old. So, I can't, Jungle Fever, whatever. But she nailed the role. She, you know, she came off with the right amount of cocky, the right amount of I want to help people, the right amount of badass.
Okay, so you ready for my next complaint about her?
But, here's my complaint. Mm-hmm. I have seen this character before. Because... You're young, Blasphemous. You don't know this character very well, but you might, because I grew up in the era of blaxploitation. I grew up watching Soul Train as a little kid. Yes, my mom was a mud shark for a few years. Unfortunately, the guy she was chasing after decided to go shop elsewhere because that guy was awesome, and I would not wish my mom on anyone. But during this era of watching blaxploitation movies and everything, I realized that it really wasn't Domino. It was Domino's powers slapped on Cleopatra Dynamite.
Okay, I will definitely give you that. But here's what my problem was. Okay. It wasn't even Domino's powers, really. You need to go back and watch the movie again. Here's my big beef with what they did with her. Aside from the fact that they changed the character's entire look.
And her backstory.
When she... Oh, don't even get me started on that, though. Her backstory is very convoluted. But at least her original one. When she shows up to the interview thing with Deadpool, when he's forming his team, she explains that she doesn't know why she's there. She just knows that she's there for a reason. They basically imply in this damn movie that, like, it's not just luck, it's, like, fate with the way that they're portraying it, which isn't what her power is. It is definitely luck. It's probability manipulation on a subconscious level. And I love the way that they actually did it in the movie, except for when they pull the things of, I'm here for a reason. That's not how your power works.
No. They try to make her power, you know, like you said, it's subconscious, but adding to that fate level was kind of a bitch-ass thing. But I understand, they've got...
It literally makes her power plot device at that point.
It does, it makes it plot device.
Another character that I had a problem with when it comes to the power stuff. So, they did a character called The Vanisher, and it turns out that it's just Invisible Brad Pitt, Which, give it up for Brad Pitt for being willing to be in this movie for $1,000. And so his entire deal was $1,000, and Ryan Reynolds, who now makes more money than him in movies, has to hand-deliver him his coffee on set. That's brilliant. I love that. However, the actual character of the Vanisher within Marvel Comics, yes, specifically in the X-Men stuff, he's a teleporter. He's not an invisible dude.
And I believe he started as a villain in, like, a big-ass red cape.
Yeah, it was bad. But I do like how they portrayed him in this, simply that they went with... I love the meta-ness of the joke that we got probably the most recognizable actor we could for this movie, and then we made him invisible so you can't see him.
The fun part also that I had was one of the characters was Shatterstar. When they came out with his character back in the 90s, I really didn't like him. I wasn't big on the X-Force stuff. I was like,
it's
whatever.
It's weird because I dug him.
I really didn't dig him.
I dug him in the comic books, not in the movie.
Well, yeah.
Well, in the movie, too. Again, here's...
But in the movie, when the heroes are coming out of the back of the ship, and Shatterstar's like, I'm better than everybody else, and he's just fucking Blender. And I'm just like, oh my god, that's fucking great.
That is great, but again, this comes back to the whole nerd in me has to complain about little stuff.
Yeah.
He says in the damn movie that he's from another planet called Mojoverse. No, it's another dimension in the comic books. He's not an alien. He's from another dimension.
And he's also a clone, or like...
It's complicated.
He's like CRISPR built or some
it's
shit.
It's super complicated. You know what I love too?
Comic logic.
I you know what I hate? I hate, but I love it at the same time. I hate that when you watch the trailers for this movie, they actually have scenes with the X-Force people fighting and stuff. Does not happen in the movie. Spoiler alert. They all jump out of the back of the helicopter and die horrible, horrible deaths.
On the same token, though, it's Deadpool, so you can never tell when they're lying or telling the truth until you actually see it. It's Deadpool, man.
Right, no, that's fine. I'm just saying, I wanted to see that action. I was like, dude, we have a group of mutants. There's going to be badass fights. Nope, there's no badass fight scenes with that. I could have thought, you had Terry Crews, bro!
It was, you know what? It's kind of like the whole thing that he said about the X-Men in the first movie. What, he didn't have the budget? Maybe they just didn't have the budget for the fight scenes to be in the movie. I don't know.
Okay, right now, I have issues with it, but fair enough. It was a great movie, don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on this movie. I love this movie.
Or fucking Juggernaut tearing Deadpool in half.
That was okay, but here's what
and
I
love.
And
the scene that followed up? Him sitting on the chair doing Basic Instinct?
Let's go back to the beginning of the movie, dude. I love that one of the first jokes of the movie is a throwback to the first movie. He goes to Blind Al's house, he pulls up the floorboards, and there's the cocaine that he told her was hidden there, as well as a book that says the actual cure for blindness.
Yeah.
So just an offhanded joke that he made in the first movie comes to full fruition in the second movie.
Wayne's cocaine.
There's money, guns, cocaine, and the actual cure for blindness.
And the actual cure for blindness.
They did a pretty good job, and I have my issues with some stuff. I don't like what they did with Fire Fist, all right, Rusty Collins.
Yeah.
I don't like how different he was than in the comic books. Like, he could not have physically been more different. In the comic books, he's about early 20s, he's skinny, in great shape as you are in comic book movies, or comic books, sorry. Blonde hair in this, he's a short, fat 14-year-old with dark hair. I had my issues with that, but they cracked jokes and stuff about it.
I thought you would be like, given, you know, fat kid, fat guy, you know, you could get some relatability.
No, I can't relate, because here's the thing. If you're running around kicking ass, you're going to be burning up calories. That's just going
to
happen.
Well, he hasn't gotten to that point of kicking ass yet.
Come on, dude, that movie starts with him wrecking the cops! Would you see that? They had, like, 3 flipped over cop cars that had been burnt up. 5 engraved flame things into the ground. He's fist fucking Deadpool through the air. This kid's got no training. He's just meta as hell. Which, can I dig it? And that's another thing, too. I feel I didn't clarify enough earlier. I like this kid. I like his performance. I like the stupid crap he says in it, how he's trying to be gangster in prison and stuff.
Yeah, his because prison
that's,
pocket.
That's the way that a stupid 14-year-old kid would be. I have no problem with that. I just have a problem with it's so far away from the actual character in the comic books that they might as well just have been an original character. Wouldn't have bugged me. It makes no difference. Only diehard fans know what the real character was like anyways.
I will respond with one word. Domino. Domino.
I now know why that dog was doing its thing earlier. I feel it in my soul. It hurts.
I have nothing against the actress. Like I said, she played up the role really well, but it's Cleopatra Dynamite with Domino's powers. This is totally blaxploitation just to get the money.
Can somebody explain to me how Cable's gun kept magnet flying to him? Now, in the comics, he's got telekinesis. That's never addressed in this. And they don't show any device on his body that's magnet pulling this gun to him. It just makes a magnet sound and the gun comes flying.
Here we go, here we go.
It was something in his fanny pack.
The plot line demanded it.
No, because the plot line demanded it. Domino.
I cannot retort that comment. Just hurts too much. Brain shutting down. Gears.
I love how they did the Juggernaut in this. Going CG with him was the only way you could do it, unless you're going to get Half-Thor, the actor that plays the Mountain in Game of Thrones. So, really, unless you're going to get a giant man like that, the only real way to do this character justice was CG. And they did do some pretty good justice to his character in this.
I like the slow build to him.
I knew he was coming already before the movie started, though, because there were screenshots. Like, when they're in the convoy, on the screen, on the panel, shows this image that looks very much like Juggernaut. I'm like, ooh, Juggy's going to be in it! Juggernaut!
I definitely dug that.
I did. I dug the fact that they killed so many superheroes in one sitting.
I have a problem with the fact that Negasonic Teenage Warhead's lesbian girlfriend. Here's my problem with it. I don't care that they're lesbian stuff, and it works. I mean, that actress looks like a lesbian, and I totally want to see her do some dirty, dirty things, especially to an Asian girl. My problem is that she shows up, and pretty much the only thing she's good for is she helps trip the Juggernaut.
Yeah, okay, all right, so... You had just reminded me of one character I hate more than the way they portrayed Domino.
Which is?
Negasonic Teenage Angst Head.
You watch your fucking mouth.
The way they're portraying her in that movie, she is the most unlikable fucking character possible.
Good! She clearly has daddy issues, and I turn 40 next year, bro. Don't mess this up for me.
She's nothing but mean to her companions and cohorts.
Okay. Hey, really
except
quickly.
For Yukio, who she only talks to coldly.
Hey, I need to be fair.
She only shows
earlier.
Up in combat to do one blast.
Not
in
debating
each movie,
you. Not debating you. Not debating you. She did two blasts in the first movie. Not debating you here, but I would like to point out, in all fairness, since I attacked Domino, I don't want people thinking I just did it because there's a black chick. Negasonic Teenage Warhead is also another character where they completely changed her power set from the comic books. In the comic books, she just had clairvoyancy, and she was depressed all the time because she could see that she was going to die, and then she did die. And in this, they basically ripped off the powers of Cannonball from X-Force and just gave it to this chick.
No, she's not playing like Arlo does.
Look, say what you want, but at least unlike Rose from Star Wars, I can masturbate to this character.
I can't. Her personality is like...
I can masturbate enough for both of us.
I would rather rub my nuts on a rusty cheese grater than spend 5 minutes in a room with somebody like that.
I feel a bonus content video coming in the future.
Maybe. Go get the actress and I will fucking do it. Just give me that cheese grater now. Because the way they're portraying her character is completely unlikable in a team scenario. If you had a team that was a bunch of Negasonic Angst Warheads, they would get nothing done because they would be all too busy being loners stuck with angst. And being pissed at each other.
But keep in mind that she's supposed to be this way. Deadpool even brings it up. That's what allows him to throw the jokes at her the way that he does. He can talk to her as shittily as he wants because she's such a bitch that nobody cares. That's why when she introduces her girlfriend and he starts cracking jokes, she instantly assumes that it's a misogynist thing because she's a lesbian. And he quickly points out that, no, I have no problem with the fact that you're gay. I'm just surprised that anybody would date your bitch ass because of how fucking mean you are.
I just love the fact that how friendly he was to Yukio. You
yes.
Know, every time she shows up, oh, Pinkie Pie.
Right, but again, that only really works when it's contrasted against how horrible his interactions are with Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead is going to be a blue-haired cat lady at a fucking slut walk in 20 years.
I will walk that slut myself.
Mm. Go for it.
I would! If the restraining order was ever removed.
Yeah. Me, I'm going to go party with Juggy. We're going to get Juggy with it.
What happened to your jungle fever? I like that you went straight from, I like black chicks, to now you're like, big white dude who just broke out of prison.
He tears people in half, and there's a lot of people I'm angry at.
Now, that's a fair point.
I could use an 800-pound gorilla.
And apparently he likes short, chubby people, so you could definitely be friends.
Hey, a short, chubby person who gave him food one time suddenly became his best friend.
You show up in your kilt, and all of a sudden you guys are getting prison married.
No, because the first time he sees the bubble gum, he's gone. But no, I mean, overall, the movie was great.
I enjoyed the hell of it. I'm glad you dragged me to it. I actually contemplated getting out of watching it with you. And I was like, ah, fuck it. I'm just going to watch it. Fuck it.
Dude, I was going to pay for your ass to go if I had to. I would have, man. I would have been like, if he shows up and he's got no cash, fuck it. I'm paying.
Guys, it's kind of like, you know, Jiggles is trying to call me while we're recording this.
Well, Jiggles can wait another few minutes.
Oh, Jiggles can definitely wait. So, I mean, again, overall, I really enjoyed the premise of the movie. I like the idea that Cable coming back in time to kill this guy. You know what I mean? I like the way that Deadpool's like, well, yeah, but what if you can prevent him from becoming a dick? Because I've always gone off about that when people are like, if you could time travel, would you go back in time and kill Hitler? No, I'd go back in time and become his best friend. Like, I feel like I could change some shit.
Yeah.
You don't have to go straight to murder as your absolute first thing. It's a problem that I have in gaming is a lot of the time people want to go with the easiest, fastest solution possible.
I go back in time, crack his neck, done. Yeah.
And still, if you look at it, it would have happened with someone else. It would have just been someone else's name as, ooh, the big bad guy of the 20th century.
I love that every time that they brought up Cable's freaking time travel and the rules of time travel, that Deadpool would just instantly point out that it's lazy writing.
Yeah. The other thing, though, that I really did like about the movie in retrospect is it's a great team-building movie. Because they're boiling up the whole X-Force becoming a team. And Deadpool was on it. Fire Fist was on it. Cable was on it. The others, well, they kind of died. But whatever. But it was still a great movie that when you get to the very end of it, this is how the team got together. It wasn't just, here's an origin story and we're labeling it as such. They labeled it as a Deadpool movie, but it's actually an origin story of how this team got together.
Right, because they're already talking about the next one that they're doing. It's just straight up entitled X-Force.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to be great. I mean, if they can do the same thing they did here, very few gripes with it, and just good overall story, jokes, you know, keep it entertaining. You know, I really enjoyed the movie for the characters it had, the jokes, but overall, it's a lot better than a lot of the schlop that's coming out of Hollywood lately when it comes to comic book movies. I mean, Infinity War, we kind of discussed it before, but yeah, I did have some issues with it because, like you guys are saying, the whole battle in Wakanda, you could overlay the battle with the Gungans in Phantom Menace, same fucking thing.
Yeah, it was the same thing. It was two disposable armies that you care nothing for.
Yeah. Shit. Well, it's also like, dude, you know what I really hate now in retrospect about Infinity War?
Mm.
Like, the only time any important characters die is when Thanos does his snap thing. Like, you don't lose anybody during these battles.
Yeah.
Nobody died during these epic legendary
and
fights.
Nobody even got critically hurt.
And it's like, well, I mean, Gamora fell at her superhero landing, but other than that,
Gamora fell at her superhero landing because, well, the plot armor had worn off at that point, and Thanos had already strapped it on.
You know, the biggest injury in that movie, aside from when Thanos actually snaps his fingers, is Thanos gets a scratch on his face.
Wait. The Hulk also goes impotent.
I hate that argument that people try to use. So, there's a lot of people that are right-wingers, and they are the actual crazy internet fucking everything's SJW shit. And they're trying to compare what happened with the Hulk in this movie to male impotency. They're trying to say that it's an SJW plot to make the Hulk impotent because he's the manliest of the Avengers.
No, the Hulk.
And what it is it's PTSD. For the first time in his life, he got the holy piss beat out of him in like 10 seconds. It makes sense. It's not some weird social justice impotency reference. It's holy shit. The Hulk got the crap beat out of him. And now he's ashamed and doesn't want to come out. He's scared. It makes sense. I actually heard that argument the other day, and it actually really irritated the crap out of me.
I mainly did it because I knew that'd get your goat. But
it definitely gets my
goat.
It's
like one of the things I do to one of the guys at work. I know I bring up work a lot, but it's where my other nerds hang out.
You know what? You're a Mexican. Work is like 90% of your life.
True.
That and siestas.
Siesta.
I don't do siestas. I can't nap.
Yeah, right.
But I talked to one of the guys at work about it, and his biggest complaint about Infinity War was, you know, Thanos' horsemen or his inner circle, whatever, his epic badasses, should have been so fucking badass, you know, from the comics. I'm sure you guys know, I'm not a Marvel guy, but they should have been so badass that pretty much the Hulk and Thor were the only two that could really stand up to him. But instead they're getting taken out left and right. Captain America holds his own.
They didn't take it out left and right?
The elf dude died pretty easy and quick.
And?
That's his big complaint. I'm just like, dude, it's the plot line demands it. They've got...
Be like, do you realize that you're fighting the Avengers?
That's what I tried to argue with him, but... What's your stance on these extra super badasses Thanos has basically groomed?
I don't know, I thought we were talking about Deadpool.
They made it to the end of the damn movie before they were finally fully taken out.
Yeah.
We were talking about Deadpool, but Deadpool, I feel, would be having this conversation with us as well.
That's true. It's true.
It sucks that we're not going to have T.J. Miller in the next movie.
The only thing I can hope for is that...
T.J. Miller, who the fuck is that?
Tweezel.
It's his buddy that sells him out to Cable. He will not be coming back. He's been having some issues. So first there was the sexual assault claims from college, which they pretty much managed to brush that off as being bullshit, but it was like the first blow to him. The final blow, where they finally had to just cut ties with him, is he got all drunk. He was in a first class compartment on a train. He got in an argument with a lady, so he wound up calling in and saying that this woman has a bomb in her bag, but he's drunk, so they stopped not just one, but two trains. And had to search these trains and figure everything out. And finally they wind up encountering him. And it turns out, no, he's just drunk and in an argument with a lady. And so he called in bomb threats on a railway. And it's too much, dude.
Okay.
He went too far.
He went too far. The only thing we can hope for right now, though, with the way the market is going, is Disney does not buy Fox.
Actually, one of the few things I'm not worried about that purchase, because I knew this would come up, is Disney themselves had said that if they do buy Fox, they have absolutely no intention of changing anything in Deadpool. Deadpool right now makes the kind of money that they want, and they're willing to leave the formula as is because of the money.
They also bought Disney, or they also bought Star Wars.
And right now, they're in the middle of changing things up again because what happened? Their money got messed with. They will allow Deadpool to continue to be Deadpool as long as he's raking in that dirty ball sack money. And he gets that money.
Well, let's hope so, because if Disney sticks to their guns, Deadpool will be Disneyfied and mouse ears and Disney references, and we won't get, like, cool billboards in the background that say Alpha Flight on them, which, I love Alpha Flight.
Alpha Flight is a horrible, horrible, stupid team.
Whoa.
You only like Alpha Flight because you can cosplay as Puck.
Not just because I can cosplay as Puck, but because they are the most polite super team ever.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The Royal Canadian Mounted Superhero Team, fucking Alpha
Superhero
Flight.
Team? They have a Sasquatch.
I know.
They're not a superhero team. They're a Jack's Link jerky promo.
I know they are.
Fuck
Canada. But the fact that they had that in the background and not a Disney billboard, yeah.
Fair point.
I
hear you.
I just don't want meta jokes for Disney in my fucking thing, you know, where you like Deadpool starts talking about, you know, it'd be easier if these brooms were just animated.
No, because if anything, Deadpool will start taking cracks at how much money Star Wars has lost. Deadpool will finally be able to wield a lightsaber and be like, no, it's cool. We're owned by the same people. What's Disney gonna do, sue Disney?
Yeah, the only thing that they could do is if they bought it, is they could actually like have legitimate X-Men Avengers crossovers.
I don't even care about X-Men Avengers crossovers. What I care about is eventually Disney is going to buy up so much of everything that every movie will be like Ready Player One, where there's no longer copyright disputes because it's all owned by the same people, so every movie can use anything from any other movie, and it will be chaos. And this is important to me because eventually that will lead to the greatest parody porno ever, and you people will never see me again as I die of dehydration in my bedroom.
That would be one hell of a parody porn. Huh. But unlike my son, the company will be around forever. Sorry, I was just channeling Plinkett there for a moment, thinking about Disney and how Disney won't just hang itself in a cheap-ass bathroom somewhere on behind the motel.
Glad you bring up Plinkett, dude. Now I want pizza rolls and hookers in my basement.
Hey, send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you a pizza roll. I just can't believe that Plinkett actually defended the last, not the last Star Wars movie, the one before that. But,
the Jedi?
Well,
The Force Awakens?
This is the fucked up part about the new Star Wars movies, is they are so unforgettable. I mean, they are so forgettable. I can't even put them in the right chronological order anymore. I'm just like, the last Star Wars movie, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, and I don't even know what the fuck it is, because they're all just so bland. There's nothing to them that brings me interest. I know more about Deadpool, and it's only been two movies.
See. Okay, so once again, Jiggles is still blowing up my phone, and he's like, really? Who's doing it? Jiggles, who else's podcast am I ever on?
You know what? Call him. Put him on speaker. Let's put him on.
We are not putting him on speaker.
No, we're not putting him on speaker.
That's not happening.
Nope. Jiggles has to deal with getting his black lightsaber and not being on the phone.
Okay.
Okay? And in fact, if he keeps this shit up, you know what he's going to get? Bees. 50 megatons of bees. I will summon them on his head.
You know, they killed him last night, but he paid me money to come back from it.
Mm. Okay, so, Deadpool 2.
We super digressed this time.
We super digressed.
I love it.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Oh, dude, I give it 2 thumbs way up the anus.
Give it a clapper.
What was the best part of it?
What was the best part of the movie? Absolutely the Juggernaut.
Holy shit, balls. Laughing my ass off.
The music was great, but my absolute favorite line from him in the entire thing is when fucking Fat Flamer Kid is like, so you wear this helmet, you have to keep wearing this helmet all the time to keep your brother out of your head? And he's like, yeah, but he's stuck in a wheelchair, so we're even.
It's true. That was a good line.
I'd have to say I give it 2 massive thumbs up, you know, almost, you know, Peter Dinklage and Infinity War size thumbs up. I really think it knocked out of the park. Jesus. It was entertaining. It was fun to watch. I could sit there and watch it over and over again with people. It had stuff for everybody in there. And it made fun of itself and broke the fourth wall. I love it.
I'll have to give it 2 thumbs up and a 3rd thumb, which I cannot display in a room full of men. You cis-gendered horrible people. But anyway.
I'm not a cisgender horrible person. I'm going to go fuck the chick that looks like she's going to be a cat lady someday.
Maybe. I give it 2 thumbs up and a 3rd extra thumb that is hidden away. And the best part wasn't the fact that it was just fourth wall breaking or the characters they brought on the screen, but all the little shit in the background. Mm-hmm. That movie has a lot of rewatch potential because there's billboards, there's books, there's posters. People in the background dressed in funky ways. There's a...
Hey, who are you? Batman.
I'm Batman. That was a great line. I mean, there was a lot that was great about it, but there was also a shit ton of little things in the background. Like, and I understand that Stan Lee, you know, he's getting up there in years and he couldn't make his cameo in this one. So if you watch, when he's going through the X-Mansion, there's a bust of Stan Lee in the fucking mansion. There's a bunch of little hat tips all throughout the background of the entire movie, and if you stop watching the action like you're supposed to and just watch the background, you can get almost like an entire second movie out of it of little references.
Exactly, and it's so good. Like, I recommend seeing it, buy it on Blu-ray, get the digital download, whatever.
It is.
I will torrent this one.
It is one of the few movies I can say is worth full price on a Friday night and not matinee.
Actually, as a matter of fact, you want to see it on a Friday night when the theater's packed just so that you can experience other people enjoying the movie.
Yeah, it's actually one of those few movies that is enjoyable in a mass group.
Thank God, Star Wars didn't get a hold of it.
Okay, that's it for this week. We are out.
Deuces.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that parody porn.
Holy shit balls! Holy shit, bro!